Hey, everybody, it's Godfrey here. If you are listening to any Split Zone Duo product, and it is between April 15th and April 19th, Monday, April 15th, Friday, April 19th, the year of our Lord 2024, stop what you're doing, hit pause, we need your money, again, I want you to go support the 2024 Charity Bowl, all right? So, the New American Pathways Charity, some of you guys instantly know what I'm talking about. If you don't, just hang tight, I'm going to help you out. The New American Pathways Charity. This is started by Every Day Should Be Saturday. So that's Spencer Hall and Holly Anderson. But I'm talking about our whole sort of extended universe that gets in on this. So if you're a Channel 6 fan, if you're a Shutdown Fullcast fan, Split Zone Duo, Vacation Bible School, I'm probably leaving somebody out. This is the time of year we sort of all come together and we give money to a really, really good cause. And we do it by being really, really spiteful, usually by incorporating wonderful college football scores into the dollar amounts that we donate. Great example, classic example. Remember when West Virginia scored 70 points against not yet really, you know, like national title caliber Clemson, but I don't want to take anything away from that wonderful moment in Dana Holgorsen. 70-33, you can make a $70.33 donation if you are a Mountaineer fan. You know, by all means, do whatever you want. Go through there, create a dollar figure that in somehow, way, shape, or form makes you feel good as a college football fan. If you want to give money and compete to elevate your school, so if you're a Texas A&M fan or you're a Southern Cal fan, a Vanderbilt fan, it doesn't matter. There's a drop down for your school. There's also small schools too, by the way. It's not just an FBS thing, guys. If you want to donate under Split Zone Duo, we just did that. Myself, Alex, and Richard, we threw $1,000 into the pot. We want you guys to do the same. Donate what you can. The way to find the link right now, if you're listening, visit any of our social feeds. You can go to Channel 6. You can go to Spencer's page. Every Day Should Be Saturday. Any stuff on any social media, there's going to be a link to New American Pathways. You can also visit their website, newamericanpathways.org. Find the splash page. I trust that you can do it. I'm not going to read out the crazy long URL here, okay? You can also donate via mobile. You can text Charity Bowl 24 to 91999 if it's after Monday, which, if we did this right, it's after Monday. Okay, last thing, if you don't know, what is New American Pathways? They support refugee families that are resettled in America from the day that they arrive in our country. So as soon as they touch the airport until the day that they take their citizenship exams, this is a huge task. It involves a range of needs and skill sets. It's everything from locating and maintaining safe housing, getting children enrolled in local schools, job training, language classes, legal aid, after-school programs. This is a massive undertaking to ensure that people achieve the American dream that all of us probably take for granted because we're usually busy screaming at each other about college football on the internet. Just, you know, it's kind of a thing that we do. So, New American Pathways, you can find them on Facebook. You can find them on Instagram. Please go give money. Please. Last year's donation, I believe last year it says the initial tally here, I'm reading some notes that Holly sent over, combined with the matching corporate donations, $933,000. That's really close to a million. And I know Holly and I know her sort of, let's call it like a need to sort of expand the empire here, manifest destiny. Let's make that a million this year, okay? Also, if you love Michigan, you know all about this charity. Michigan always wins, it feels like. If you don't love Michigan, good opportunity here to, you know, donate them out of the top spot. I don't even have a Connor Stallions joke here. Just if you want to give money to preserve the Michigan dynasty or destroy it, you should be incentivized in the worst possible way to help one of the best charities possible. And is that not the purpose of college football internet? New American Pathways, New American Pathways, New American Pathways.
We're coming, and we ain't backing down.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror.
Everybody just do your job! You understand that?
Hey, will you shut up?
I'm bitterly disappointed with the officiating today.
Guys being dudes.
And they run through our like through a tin horn, man.
Thank you, Lee. I just wanted to mess with the cadence because everyone does it so chipper.
Very long and drawn out.
Fine, thank you, Lee. Wow. Also, I deal with a lot of toddlers, so it's always like, okay.
The toddlers deal with you.
That's true.
Yeah. I appreciate your advocacy of my kids, but you don't need to go that far. Okay, one of my favorite things to do is, well, let me back up and then I'll explain why it's so fun to do this to my two younger co-hosts. The 5 years I worked in professional wrestling, there were two common complaints when the wrestlers would come backstage. Is that you would have wrestlers who would want to do one of two things. And this, I think, best describes my co-hosts and their personalities. You have a certain kind of wrestler wanted to have every single thing that they were going to do. By the way, wrestling's fake. Single thing they were going to do was going to be planned and choreographed. Every single thing. 20-minute match, every spot, which means every big thing that you see and that happens in the ring physically, or every bump, which means every time someone falls to one person or two people fall down, every single thing to the nth degree. One of Richard and I's favorite pastimes is running a word count on an Alex Kirshner outline. Usually an Alex Kirshner outline often supersedes a Stephen Godfrey or Richard Johnson full document, just the outline. Then, so you'd have wrestlers come back and be like, well, as soon as the outline was thrown off, like, or, you know, he wanted to have everything planned ahead of time, and so he couldn't call it in the ring. Calling it in the ring is what the second complaint is, which is a lot of veterans don't want to bother with it. They don't want to show up to the arena early, and they don't want to talk to anybody backstage. They're so confident in their abilities that they would come up and they'd be like, hey, we're working a match tonight. We got to go 15 minutes. They told us we have to do this finish. What do you want to do about it? And the veteran wrestler would usually just go, we'll call it in the ring. I don't want to talk right now. We'll call it in the ring, which is the exact opposite, which means that they literally want to walk out there with zero plan whatsoever. They'll have a finish in mind. They've been told to have a finish in mind. And then every other spot is called in the ring by the some verbal and some nonverbal communications that wrestlers use with each other. Thus, I have described my two co-hosts. So I have a spot-centric Alec Kirshner and a, let's call it in the ring, Richard Johnson. Yeah, so one of my favorite hobbies.
That's also how you are.
One of my favorite hobbies. No, I'm not. I am a beautiful mix of the two because I am mature and wise beyond my age. What I like to do is make Richard write outlines or specify something ahead of time. And I like to make Alex, and this is the purpose of today's exercise, I like to make Alex call it in the ring. The only reason I do this is because, one, well, let's be honest, I'm a bit of a sadist. And two, I think it personally is my job as the elder statesman to expand their skill sets. So making Mr. Improv actually study the script and making the overprepared one think on the fly.
That's horseshit.
This is torturous.
You guys,
I enjoy it.
If you guys saw what a Stephen Godfrey and Richard Johnson episode of Split Zone Duo show, the coaches shows that you all know and love, the notes for those are literally just every school we're going to talk about. That is the sum total of what the notes are for those.
Oh, on the coach gossip?
For instance.
Oh, well, that's different. No.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's different.
I operate a healthy medium between my two extreme co-hosts. Yeah, that's so different. With this in mind, the person who's been silent this whole time, possibly because he is grinding his teeth, I don't know. Alex Kirshner, are you ready?
Yeah.
We were discussing what we were going to do for this episode yesterday.
Yeah, Thunderdome both,
now. It's not just me, because Richard thinks it's funny too. So don't everyone blame me for this. We like to make Alex just go off the rip. Just straight up off the rip. So I had an episode in mind. I've actually had this in mind for a while, but it surfaced a couple weeks ago because in the publishing world, I want to say each of us has at some point in time in our careers had to do these like stupid advance stories. I'm talking like months in advance for magazines, season previews, where the collector, the writer, the disseminator of the knowledge is sitting here going, hey guys, this isn't even a feasible deadline to make this thing look complete, like relevant at all by July or August. And yet the publishing industry is the publishing industry. So I was having a conversation with someone outside of SCD about this. And I thought, what is the ideal way to create and construct previews? What is the ideal way to gather information with all of the modern context of the portal, with NIL, with coaching changes? And then also, I would say now a mainstream acceptance of some advanced analytics. I still think Joe Sixpack at the tailgate might not be able to accurately describe success rate, but I do think that there's look, something as simple as yards after contact, I think is like that's one that is a little more, you know, alive in the mainstream lexicon. So Alex Kirshner, his superpower is, I would say, a sort of a whole completeness of preparation. And so often when Alex is writing scripts for something like Dead Letters, I'm always shocked at how complete and how like a subject lives in totality when Alex puts his teeth on it. And so to that end, Alex doesn't know this. We are going to interview Alex today on preparation methodology and how you gather information. The reason why is that on The Single Wing, I have had at least one, if not two, if not more questions per solicitation for a while on this topic, which is how do you guys tackle the beast? If you don't know, believe it or not, probably the most labor-intensive show in the SCD pantheon is also its shortest, which is The Hurry Up, because you are taking a wild, stupid amount of information that occurs concurrently throughout a single day. I mean, you throw in Thursday, maybe a Friday night game, and then you jam it all into disseminating. You know, the boys are supposed to do 30. You know, y'all average probably about 42, 45. You know, these things happen. Alex Kirshner, are you ready to divulge your secrets of preparation?
So this is really an off-season show. This is a how SCD is made type of show.
Well, it is, but I also want to, as you're talking about this, Fans are inundated with information. A lot of it is superfluous because podcasts like ours will say, well, that doesn't matter. This doesn't matter. This is stupid. Or, hey, this doesn't even matter when X happens. Then you sort of have this feeling of like, well, now we've arrived in August. We're about to, hey, toe's going to meet leather in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
What the hell am I supposed to pay attention to?
Yeah.
Or the other aspect is, well, back when divisions existed, you'd say something like, all right, well, you know, I'm an Auburn fan and I really want to know, like, what does LSU, what does Alabama, what does, you know, what are these four or five teams I'm worried about look like this year in my division, for instance? That's the other issue, is that there's so many moving pieces and variables. So, Alex, what I wanted to ask you is, if I had to hypothetically give you like a topic or subject, and this is, I ran this myself. If we had to go into our season previews right now, okay, let's just assume that the April portal has happened, okay? So that's come and gone.
Okay.
I made these notes myself because I am not near, dude, I am like 10% of what you are in terms of that ability to prep in totality. I usually consult someone else for help in this regard. These are what I wrote down. You start with season win-loss the previous year. You give an overview of scheme. Final SP and maybe EPA from the previous year, any NFL talent they lost, what they did good, what they did bad, that's a more of a generic, best unit, what was bad, worst unit, and is there a way to quickly quantify or qualify injury luck? Then you would go into coach overall record year by year, where are we in a larger narrative, and 247 rankings now of signing classes and I guess portal as well. Maybe with a mention of what the contract situation might be. Is this a higher pressure year where 8 wins won't do it or 6 is okay, that kind of thing. I have another list of like 20 other items I made, and then I felt like I was drowning. This was my big audacious plan back in December. I was like, next year I want to be able to do this for like 60 teams. And I realized you can kill yourself with one team's amount of information. Mm-hmm. So as someone with a much sharper focus on the prep side, Alex, where in the fucking world would you start?
It's a good question. I hope people are interested in this. I guess if you're subscribing to the show, we kind of see you as the most important people to this operation. And so maybe you have some interest in
how we make this.
It feels a little navel-gazy to me, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to play along. I think that the key to our operation, in my opinion, is that we have to remember that we probably don't know more about your team than you do.
Okay.
Off the rip. Like, if you care enough about college football that you pay for this college football podcast, then you almost certainly know your favorite team in more detail than I do. And so, just from an attitude perspective, you have to be on your game about every team that we talk about, or there will be people who rightfully get mad. And I think there are cases where this converges a little bit. you know, like last year it was Michigan was the perfect example. Like they were the main character of everything. I still believe that Michigan fans know more about Michigan than we do, but like everyone saw just about everything, at least in the relevant part of Michigan season. No, not everyone was watching Purdue and Bowling Green, but you get it. But that's one, maybe two, three teams a year, right? Like mm-hmm. those are the teams that are at the very, very top, not only of the rankings, but of the Fox and ESPN billing every week.